This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are off and rolling Thursday, April 10, 2025. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger Gabe Kuhn on XAG underscore Kuhn71. I'm alongside executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show, Connor Dunning on XAT Dunning 929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much. Watched a little Masters through my morning into the early afternoon hours before I got on the show. Have you been doing the same?
No.
Have you been busy?
No, I've been very busy.
Yeah,
very busy.
I hear you.
Speaking of busy, tonight, I'm going to be busy as well. 7 o'clock, Hamp Line. Y'all know the drill. Pizza, beer, general knowledge trivia. Come out and play.
That sounds,
we'll the Grizz game
sounds
on.
Like a plan. And it should be a really fun one. Man.
Should be a very
and
fun
now,
one.
Late start.
Late start.
So staying through the
so
end of the game.
So you'll get an hour and a half of trivia, and then you can watch the rest
careful,
of the game.
Be careful. But I can say this. At Hamp Line, if you're drinking a bunch of beers, be careful starting trivia and finishing the Grizz game. If you do that, if you decide to do that, Uber is a thing, so make sure if you drove there, think about an Uber on the way home. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. Plenty to talk about. We'll give you Masters updates. I'll give you one off the top, but we'll give you Masters updates throughout the show. We have Grizzlies Timberwolves to talk about. We'll talk about Luka and his return to Dallas. And I think everything that Nico Harrison, Patrick Dumont, the governor for the Mavs, did wrong was highlighted last night. I think that's fair to say. Luka had 45, so we'll talk about that. The Western Conference standings are still nuts, but the Grizzlies have a clear path. I'll mention that path throughout the show. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock from the Daily Memphian. He's a columnist there in the Jeff Calkins Show. And then 6 o'clock per normal on a Thursday, we're going Kyron Samuels from Sports Illustrated, covers college football and the NFL. We'll talk NFL draft. I do need to bring up his Lakers. He's a big Lakers fan, so I'm sure he enjoyed last night. But we'll talk to him. Then Blitz will be at 6:30. Now, a quick Masters update for you. I'm seeing, and I believe this to be true. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. No one listens to me, quite frankly. You listen to me for a lot of things. You don't listen to me for golf updates and golf analysis. I believe the course record at Augusta is 9-under. It's been done twice. I think Nick Price. And there's one other that I'm losing my mind on right now. It's Nick Price and Greg Norman. Greg Norman was last to do it in 1996. Course record's 9-under. Right now, in the lead at the Masters is Justin Rose. Through 16, he is 8-under. So he could tie the course record. We'll see how that all goes. But behind him, you have Corey Connors at 4-under, Scottie Scheffler at 4-under, Tyrrell Hatton at 3-under, Rory McIlroy through 12, 3-under. He's really trying to get his career grand slam. It has evaded him this long. Maybe this is the weekend that he can do it. There's a group of guys tied there at 6th, Harris English, Matt Fitzpatrick at 2-under. It looks like we have the old guys. The old guys are pretty fun today. I have to make sure I get that right. Bernhard Langer in his 41st and final start at 67 years old, 2-over. That's pretty good. Freddie Couples at 65 in his 40th start. He is at 1-under. So I like to see the old guys playing. There's one thing I do know to be true, Even with the impressive performances we're seeing put on by Rory McIlroy, by Justin Rose, there's one thing I know to be true about golf, though. Scottie Scheffler's so damn good at golf. Did you? I mean, on four, and I don't think you can pace the Masters this way by just being unbelievable on the greens, but he had a 60-foot made putt for birdie on four and a 42-foot putt on 16, and he's at four under on the day. Like, the ability he has to just, like, not be affected by anything and just be consistent and play mistake-free golf, that puts you in a lot of puts you in contention on Sunday a whole lot when you play like Scottie Scheffler. That's a hot take from the golf analyst Gabe Kuhn. All right, now let's go ahead and get into what I saw last night. What I saw last night was Luka's return to Dallas. The Lakers ended up beating the Dallas Mavericks 112-97, and Luka Doncic tied his season high. 45 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, 9 for 18 from the field, 7 for 10 from 3. In his return to Dallas in front of Nico Harrison and Patrick Dumont, the governor of the Dallas Mavericks. I think last night we don't have a lot of precedent for it because it is the craziest trade in NBA history. But the one thing we really don't have precedent for is to watch a guy go in, kill the home team, just kill the home team, eviscerate them the entire game. 45 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals on 7 for 10 from 3. And after the game, the home crowd gives the guy a standing ovation. I understand why it happened. They're on his side, not on Nico Harrison's side, not on Patrick Dumont's side. But there is no precedent for that. I can't remember any time in my lifetime where something like that has transpired.
No, it's the first time we've ever seen anything like it. A stat came out that Luka and Wilt are the only players to ever score 45 points for a team and against a team in the same season for the NBA. Last night is a scene that I've never seen before. Never. And before we left the show yesterday, we said it's going to be a home game for the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Mavericks need to be prepared for that. And that's absolutely what it was. From the opening tip, that fan base was rooting for the Los Angeles Lakers, most notably Luka Doncic. It was crazy to watch. You heard Fire Nico chants within minutes of the game starting. Every time he hit a shot or even touched the basketball, you heard that buzz in the crowd. It reminded me, that buzz that was in the arena last night when Luka would touch the ball reminded me of when Zebo used to touch the ball down on the block in the FedEx Forum in the Grindhouse. You would just hear people buzzing because you knew that he was about to cook.
You hear people holding their breath.
And then, you know, what's crazy about it is the tribute video was great. Just wild that they're having to make one for Luka Doncic. Him crying and having tears and then going out there and playing like an absolute stone cold killer was crazy to see. He lived up to the hype. The game lived up to the hype. It was a good basketball game until about halfway through the fourth quarter. But Luka, every single time he shot the ball, you just felt like it was going in. It was a dominant performance. His first half was unreal. You could not stop him. How do you feel if you're a Mavericks player last night? Because there
was
a moment.
Did you see them after the game? It was all love, handshakes, hugs, kisses.
What I mean, though, is like there was a moment last night where the game was still pretty tight, where Max Christie went to the free throw line. And at the free throw line, they are chanting, fire Nico.
Yeah.
While Max Christie, the player who was traded for Luka Doncic, is shooting free throws, and then he missed both of them. It had to be a mind F for the Dallas Mavericks players to not be hearing cheers every single time something good happened, to not be hearing boos every time the Lakers made a shot. It had to be a weird environment. And, you know, if you're somebody like Anthony Davis, how does that make you feel long-term about being in Dallas? It's just what a weird experience last night was if you were a Dallas Mavericks fan, a Dallas Mavericks player, Nico Harrison, Jason. By the way, Jason Kidd, with one of the dumbest quotes I've ever heard in my life.
He compared the trade to he said people are comparing it to Babe Ruth. How cool is that?
Hey, buddy, let me tell you how that trade worked out for the Boston Red Sox, all right? So are you saying that in 86 years we can expect a championship for the Dallas Mavericks? That's cool.
That's how far ahead they
were
looking.
That's pretty cool. We just had 86 years of pain, and some people lived and died a Red Sox team without ever seeing a championship.
Yeah, we made this trade because in 86 years we feel like we're in our window.
Is that when Jason Kidd and Nico talk about the long-term defense of the Dallas Mavericks, are they talking about the next 86 years?
Yeah. Now to Nico Harrison. Last night he was at the game. I want to give him some credit, although he was surrounded by his security detail, which makes sense. Mavericks fans that are calling for him to sit in his normal seat, you must not live on planet Earth. Are you kidding me? The amount of heckling he would get and potential, like, let's be honest, potential violence that could erupt if he sat in his normal seat is ridiculous, but I'll give him credit for being in the arena and watching the game. He left pretty quickly, but that's where the credit stops. Just looking at it, I know this is the millionth time guys that sit in our seats have said this. Probably 2 millionth, 3 millionth, whatever it is. But I just can't fathom what has happened here. The Lakers were a 75-year-old man with a pacemaker that needed a new heart. The Mavericks were a 25-year-old man that does regular exercise. And the 25-year-old man took out their beating heart and placed it in the 75-year-old man. Killed themselves in the process.
You ever seen The Substance?
I have not.
It's kind of the plot.
But I can't understand it. That's in a sense, that's what happened. In the rest of the Western Conference, like if you're a fan of another Western Conference team, here it's the Grizzlies. You look at the Lakers now, and you look at the Mavs, and you look at Nico Harrison, you're like, dude, you made our nightmares come to life. You gave a Lakers team who had no way out, no way out, besides living out the rest of LeBron and AD, seeing if they could keep AD healthy and trying to go for another championship, probably wouldn't have happened. You gave them another lease on life when they have already had so much damn success for years and years and years. They're second all time in championships. That's what it highlighted to me last night is I just look at Nico Harrison and his stupid face when they showed it every time Luka hit a shot. And I'm like, why would you do this to the rest of the 13 franchises in the Western Conference? It is a frustrating thing. Every time I see that guy's face, every time his name gets brought up, he's going to be synonymous with one of the worst trades in the history of the NBA.
It's still jarring when you see Luka in the Lakers uniform. You still can't really believe that it's happening. Like when he throws lobs to LeBron or he's behind the back pass to Austin Reeves, and you're just like, how is this happening? How did this happen? It's the worst trade in NBA history, no doubt about it. And it doesn't help that last night Anthony Davis just wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And it is very funny that the guy you called fat, lazy, and an alcoholic, and you traded him for defensive purposes, came in and dropped 45 on you without breaking a sweat.
Yeah, you know, what's amazing about that whole narrative to me is one.
Oh, and by the way, Caleb Martin sucked too.
Yes, of
that
course
didn't
he
help.
Did. And Quentin Grimes plays for the 76ers.
Have you seen that stat, by the way?
No. What's
oh,
that?
I got to go find it. The stat about
Quentin Grimes versus Caleb Martin?
Yeah. Have you seen that?
I've highlighted it on the show before. Hold but on. Is it worse?
It's so bad. I'll go find it.
Is it worse? But just seeing that, like to say that he was a fat alcoholic that didn't work hard. One, like Kyler Murray's brought this up in the past when he had the video game sort of rumor placed on his head and he was still playing good ball. Like people say he's more interested in video games than playing on a Sunday. Well, one, it's kind of a compliment that you think that these guys don't work hard and they play as well as they do on a Sunday or what Luka did last night against the Dallas Mavericks. But two, like, how dumb is it to think that a guy could do what he did, Luka did, last night, 45, 8, 6, 4 steals, 9 for 18 from the field, 7 for 10 from 3. How stupid is it to think that that guy could do that, being a fat, ridiculous alcoholic that doesn't watch film and doesn't work hard? If you believe that, you're out of your damn mind. I know he's gained some weight since his rookie year. I get that part of it. But there's no doubt behind the scenes the guy puts in work. You don't get results like that without going ahead of time and figuring out things in practice, working your ass off. It's one of the biggest misnomers in sports when we have these conversations. It's ridiculous to think that a guy could do what he did last night against the Dallas Mavericks and not work hard.
And it goes outside of just the actual games and the players, wins and losses and all that stuff. Nico Harrison and the Dallas Mavericks completely severed their relationship with their fan base.
Yeah.
And you saw that on the biggest screen last night. I don't know how they recover from this. I really don't. Because this team isn't going to make some miraculous run. It's not going to happen. They don't have the players. If Kyrie wasn't hurt, they would be competitive. But they're not winning a championship. And I think a championship's the only thing that you could have to justify this type of trade. And even if that happened, I don't know if some Mavericks fans would still come back. You saw last night, Mavericks fans were wearing Luka jerseys. They were wearing Laker jerseys. There was that great shot of the couple where the woman was wearing the Luka jersey and her husband was in a Mavs t-shirt. She was yelling at, in your face. There were people, you know, Jason Gallagher, for instance, who has covered the Mavericks for years, diehard Mavericks fan, said that last night was the first time he was ever rooting against them in the building. They completely threw away the culture of the Dallas Mavericks. Dirk Nowitzki's first game since the Luka trade was last night, being in the arena.
Yeah.
I just don't know how they were making fun of Ja, by the way. Yeah.
We caught that on camera.
Everybody becomes a comedian around her, doesn't she?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know that when he got home, his wife was
yeah,
like...
Yeah, Dirk had too big of a smile on his face.
Do you think she just had it paused on the big screen when he walked in? Explain yourself.
Talk to me.
He tried to do a fadeaway.
Yeah, but that's his first game back.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know how they come back from this from a fan perspective. They have completely thrown away so many people's love for the game. Because the trust in the franchise is gone.
See, and that's the thing. It's even worse than the way you're putting it. Because you can fire Jason Kidd. You can fire Nico Harrison.
But you can't bring Luka back.
You can't bring Luka back. And I think the trust that's been lost in the governor, Patrick Dumont.
He's an idiot.
He's
a moron.
He's still there. And like, I don't know if you've seen it. There's rumors about Nico Harrison potentially being a scapegoat. I don't buy those rumors, but I will say this. Patrick Dumont clearly signed off on this trade to make this a reality, or it wouldn't have happened.
Have you seen that meme about two dumb bees telling each other exactly? That's yes, what the two of them are.
Exactly.
Nico was waiting for somebody to give him the green light to trade Luka, and he got it. So he did it, because he didn't like Luka.
So, but that's the point. Is Patrick Dumont's not selling the team? And there, I guess there is some ridiculous conspiracy theories about him wanting to get out of Dallas. I can tell you this right now. NBA is not going to let him get out of Dallas.
No, it's one of their biggest. It's like their fourth biggest market.
It's a top five market. Yeah. Why the hell would they get out of it? That's a ridiculous thing. I really think they made this trade thinking they would make their team better in the short term. And it clearly didn't happen.
So here's the stat I found. The Caleb Martin, Quentin Grimes stat. Because the Luka trade was horrific in and of itself. It gets even worse when you realize that Caleb Martin's running around out there and not Quentin Grimes. Caleb Martin has made 2 3-pointers since being traded to Dallas. Quentin Grimes has made 79 3-pointers since being traded to Philly.
I mean, isn't Quentin Grimes is up there at about 20 points per game?
He's hooping.
Maybe over that.
You know who would be really helpful without Kyrie Irving? Quentin Grimes. It is, I cannot believe this trade happened. It has changed the landscape of the NBA for years to come. It has changed the relationship between the Dallas Mavericks and their fan base for probably forever. I cannot imagine. If you're a kid and Luka was your favorite player, you're not a Mavericks fan anymore. You're a Lakers fan now. And that's how it is. And they shot themselves in the foot, and then they shot themselves in the chest for no reason. Because why? A guy likes a beer sometimes. He might be a little bit overweight. He has the third highest point per game total of all time behind Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. 3 is Luka Doncic.
And by the
way, maybe don't trade that guy.
Here's the other
part. For somebody who's made of glass.
With guys that are out of shape, the general thought would be, okay, is he going to stay healthy through the regular season? Okay. But when push comes to shove, is he going to be ready for the playoffs? Luka Doncic is top 5 in playoff points per game in his short career in the playoffs. And he's made a finals, and he's made a Western Conference finals. So that's off the table. That's not a talking point. That's not a discussion.
Do you know how many 40-point games Luka's already had in his career?
A lot.
Last night was his 46th.
That's pretty good. I think that's pretty good.
And you traded that guy. Listen, Anthony Davis is a Hall of Famer, top 100 player who'd ever play the game. Champion, unbelievable player. In no way do you trade him for Luka. That is not a fair trade. It would be rejected on 2K. It'd be rejected in every fantasy league you're in. It would cause pandemonium in a fantasy league.
Yes.
If somebody traded Luka for Anthony Davis. There'd be collusion. People would be thrown out. Friendships would be ruined over this. But it happened in the NBA.
It happened in real life.
I can't believe it. I genuinely can't believe it.
Yeah, but I will say that was, it is wild as it is on both sides, as polarizing as the topics can be, that was great entertainment last night.
It was incredible.
It was awesome entertainment.
Every time, it was the first time in my life that I have watched a LeBron James basketball game, and I was disappointed when he would take a shot.
Right.
Because I wanted Luka to go for 50. I wanted him to go for 60. And, you know, I do think it's a respect thing that he got taken out and he didn't actually go for 50. But there was a moment there where you were like,
well,
oh, he's going to do
JJ
it.
JJ Redick said after the game he wanted him.
Oh, he was.
I know he's saying in jest.
Yeah,
I think there's some level of seriousness to every joke, Connor. Some level of seriousness
Because he missed three free throws. So I wonder if he was sitting at 48 instead of 45. They probably would have left him in there to try to get 50. But, and one of the funniest things I saw last night, did you see the Nico Harrison Lakers jersey?
I did not.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty good.
A Dallas Mavericks fan, or I guess a Lakers fan, wore a Lakers jersey with double zeros that said Nico Harrison on the back.
He is a Lakers legend at this point.
He's with us.
He is. He's got to be. Getting down to it, though, I don't know how you can, by the time you get probably knocked out of the play-in, because that's where they're going to be, I don't know how you don't immediately just fire Nico Harrison on the spot. I think he should have been fired.
It's
yesterday.
Because he wanted it to happen. The owner wanted this to happen because he's dumb.
Let me ask you this. Is there an opportunity or a chance that he can get through this offseason and get to next season as the GM of the Mavericks?
Yeah. If the owner likes him, he's not going to be fired.
That's clinically insane.
Correct. This is also the same guy, though, that used Shaquille O'Neal as a beacon of health and conditioning. Yeah. This guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah. It's nasty. Now, the Lakers, or the Mavericks, I should say, didn't do the Grizzlies any favors.
No.
I know the Lakers are sort of stuck there in the three spot right behind the Rockets, and they're right there on the precipice of clinching that three spot. So it wasn't like the biggest deal that the Lakers won last night, but there were a couple of other games, and in one of them in particular, the Grizzlies did get some help. Grizzlies got some help. Let's talk about it next. Let's break down the Timberwolves-Grizzlies game tonight and what the Grizzlies need to do to stay out of the play-in. We'll do that right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. So last night, in addition to Luka returning to Dallas, it was a really important off night for the Memphis Grizzlies in regards to where they're going to be standing at the end of this whole thing in the Western Conference. You had Rockets versus the Clippers, Lakers versus the Mavericks, of course. Mavericks did no favors for the Grizzlies. You had Nuggets versus Kings, and you had Spurs versus Warriors. There was one favor that was done, because I will say that the Rockets did no favors. They lost to the Clippers, 134-117. They sat their whole starting lineup. Of course, the Lakers beat the Mavericks. Nuggets handled business against the Kings, even though it was a highly contested game, if you watched it last night on ESPN. But there was one favor done. The Spurs. Shout out to our guy, Harrison Barnes. Play the clip, Connor.
Harrison Barnes. Launching the three. A three, and San Antonio wins the game. HB got some separation and bottoms the game winner right there.
That's good.
111-111 going down to the buzzer. Harrison Barnes hits a step back to push the Spurs past the Warriors, 114-111. And with that, the Warriors now have one more loss than the Grizzlies. Timberwolves, of course, have one more loss than the Grizzlies. We'll get to that game. They're playing tonight at 8:30. We'll get to that in a second. But with that shot from Harrison Barnes against his former team, the Grizzlies were propelled to number 6 in the Western Conference outside of the play-in. Now, not everything is safe. Their last three games of the year are not going to be easy, especially these next two. You have Timberwolves at home at 8:30. Then you're going to have to travel overnight, 2 hour and 40 minute flight to Denver, drive to the hotel, get to sleep, not have a shoot around, not have a practice. Then you're going to have to play the Nuggets on the road in the altitude the next night. So it's going to be really tough. But it has given us some clarity on what the Grizzlies could or need to do to stay out of the play-in. And I think it's pretty simple. Go 3-0 against the Timberwolves, on the road against the Nuggets, and you have to beat the Mavericks. Now, the Mavericks actually is a little tougher than we think about. Anthony Davis has always had some good games against the Grizzlies. He's back healthy for the most part. Didn't look good last night, but he's sort of getting himself back to where he was for most of the season. But it's simple. They're in six right now. No one behind them can catch them if they win. If they go 3-0, they can handle business.
Win out. Win out and you're in. It's easier said than done.
Sure.
But last night, the Spurs did the Grizzlies a huge favor. And damn it, they owed us after the years of kicking our ass.
Like, sure.
They absolutely owed the Grizzlies. And last year, what's wild is last year, they were the team. They beat the Nuggets, like the final game of the season, and completely threw a wrench and everything
as well.
And
the Thunder got the one seed after that, right?
Something like that. I just remember that they beat the Nuggets when they weren't supposed to, and all of a sudden things were crazy in the Western Conference playoffs.
Or no, I think it was Timberwolves got the – were they two seed?
It was something like that.
It was changed with the top three seeds.
Yeah, it changed a lot. But what's very funny about last night's game, too, is the Spurs won that game by attacking Draymond Green.
The defensive player of the year, you mean?
Hmm. And weird, today all of a sudden, he's not the favorite anymore.
Keldon Johnson got a really tough bucket on him late in that game that helped the Spurs get over.
Stephon Castle threw a pass right by his face to Keldon Johnson right at the end.
But let's be honest about that. We've already broke this down. He shouldn't be the defensive player of the year.
It's
the reason that
narrative.
He was considered there, it's very narrative-based, and I think it's like sort of lifetime achievement award. This is his last best shot to win a defensive player of the year. And people want to give him his flowers. Even though he's gotten them before, he's won a defensive player of the year. He's been all defensive like eight times over. I don't know why you need to give him the Lifetime Achievement Award.
So last night,
I think, did do a big, pretty big number on him probably being on the outside looking in.
Well, and that's why, are the Spurs heroes? Because they beat the Warriors to help out the Grizzlies, and they may have eliminated the Draymond Green Defensive Player of the Year fraudulent campaign. Just shout out to the...
It's the Lord's work.
One of the first times in my entire life I can say thank you to the San Antonio Spurs.
Now, if the Grizzlies are going to go 3-0 to end the year and end up in outside of the play-in, they need to start tonight against the Timberwolves. Timberwolves are 2-point favorites. They will be visiting FedEx Forum at 8:30 tonight. It'll be on TNT and Max. Now, the Grizzlies, we've talked about Jalen Wells and his injury, but I don't know if we've talked about the implications that it's going to bring the Grizzlies for the rest of the year. Obviously, the most important thing is Jalen Wells is up and moving after that hard foul that KJ Simpson gave to him on that dunk attempt. And he's around his teammates. They're having fun. They're enjoying themselves. But he still has a broken wrist. He's not going to be able to play for likely the rest of the year. With that, what do you do to replace his production? I think the most obvious thing that you could do to replace what he is as a player, we know he's struggled with his offense lately, but defensively he has still kept up the pace. I think the obvious choice here would be Vince Williams Jr. joining the starting lineup. Now, with that, I'm not going to make any, you know, ifs, ands, or buts about it. Vince Williams Jr. has not been very good, and he has not been the same defender that he was last year in that lost season. I still think he's around 85, 90%. He's not full 100%, so that's part of the reason you've seen his struggles. But if you're looking for somebody to come in and help with perimeter defense in that starting lineup, take over the Jalen Wells role, knock down a three every once in a while, that is clearly, very clearly, your best option. I don't know if it's a perfect option by any stretch of the imagination. Vince Williams Jr. has not lived up to the hype we gave him in the preseason, but I think that's what the Grizzlies are going to go with.
I think it's your only option at this point because, listen, I think that Luke Kennard pre-trade deadline may have been the option here, but if we're going to be completely honest about it, he's been bad. He's just not shooting the basketball. And listen, Luke, if you're going to be in the game, you have to shoot. It's Well, it's very frustrating when you're watching games and they keep bringing up his three-point percentages. I'm like, yeah, but he's taking like three a game. I
need volume.
Shoot the ball. Like, if you feel leather, shoot it. Luke shouldn't be able to pass. There should be a no passing rule for Luke Kennard. Listen, he's a decent playmaker. That has improved, and he makes some plays every once in a while. But at the end of the day, he's in there to shoot the basketball. But he's certainly not going to be able to give you much defensively. I think the hope we would have had was that somebody like Gigi might be ready for this type of moment, but he's clearly not ready yet. Offensively, he's not ready, and defensively, he's certainly not ready. And when you talk about Vince Williams Jr., his defense has still been pretty damn good this season. When you look at his defensive rating, last year he had a 114, this year is a 115. You want that to be better when you are having to defend the best guys on the perimeter, because that's really what Jalen Wells did. He was damn near their best perimeter defender, if not their best perimeter defender. That's why it was so miraculous that he's a rookie this season. He was able to step in and just go at the best guy every single night. Like, when but you look up his matchup difficulty, it's one of the highest in the league, and he had high success at it. His offense has fallen off a little bit of late, but he was starting to get back into the groove a little bit of it. But it's a massive loss for the Grizzlies moving forward, especially when you add it to the loss of Brandon Clark. Those are two of your best defenders and two of your most reliable basketball players. Not having them in is going to be difficult, and that's why Vince, you just hope that the offense can come along, and you've seen some flashes of it in recent games. Like, his last game was pretty good. He had 8 points against the Charlotte Hornets. He just has to be able to knock down a shot every once in a while. That's all you need Vince Williams Jr. to do, and can he defend the best guy on the perimeter? That's what you're going to have to ask of him.
And he's going to do it to the best of his ability. He's the best option you have. I think the only options you would have, you brought him up, Luke Kennard and Vince Williams Jr., but with the starting lineup you have, if Ja, Dez, and Jaren are healthy, you don't need to supplement those three guys with more potential offense than Luke Kennard, even though he has not given you a lot of offense. You need to supplement that with defense, and your best option is Vince Williams Jr. You don't really have – you're just sort of catty-cornered into this. Luke Kennard comes off the bench. Maybe he's better with that bench group at finding his opportunities, finding his shots. Hopefully it works out. But again, like the Jalen Wells – missing him for the rest of the year is as brutal as it gets. And I think, you know, because of how it happened, we didn't really want to talk about it yesterday and the long-term implications of it for this year, or the short-term implications, I guess I should say, of this season going into the postseason. But it is going to be huge. You have fallen off so dramatically from the trade deadline, from the All-Star break with your perimeter defense. Jalen Wells was the best at doing it. And second best at doing it's probably Vince Williams Jr. Here you go. Let's see how it works out. But you're just that much thinner. Now, tonight's game, injury report-wise, besides the obvious ones, it's relatively clean for the Grizzlies. You just Brandon Clark, Jalen Wells out. On the Timberwolves side, I have not seen word one. I think they are completely clean. I don't even think they have two-way guys on
there. It says none listed on ESPN.
I don't think they have anybody listed on their injury report. So I will say this, tonight should be a really fun matchup regardless of the way it goes. Of course, you want to see the Grizzlies get over top and hold on to the non-play-in spot, whether it be 6-5, 4, whatever it is. But at the same time, it should be a nice playoff atmosphere in FedEx Forum.
Should be. Definitely going to be a big playoff atmosphere. It's going to be another big opportunity for a guy like Zach Edey. He's going up against a tough matchup, and Rudy Gobert also going to be dealing with
Julius Randle down there. This is putting the Tomas Asalo, Zach Edey, you know, brain trust in this is a real test tonight against Rudy Gobert.
Well, listen, we've seen some success as of late from Zach Edey, but that, you know, against the Miami Heat, Detroit Pistons, Charlotte Hornets. Let's see what happens when you're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. If he has
the
success against
the player of the year,
then maybe we have to give T.I. Coach of the Year. You know, I'm just saying. if Zach Edey goes out there and drops 20 rebounds again, that would be great.
We can stick with Coach of the Month.
Coach of the month. Sure. With the losing record. Yeah. Hey, but I'm going to give it to him anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, but tonight will be a test for Zach Edey. Now, what do the Grizzlies need to do to give themselves a good chance to win? Listen, with Anthony Edwards and Ja Morant, that's going to be must-see TV, going back and forth at each other. You know, they've both been playing really, really well on the offensive side of the basketball. I think tonight you just have to limit the others if you're the Grizzlies. Jaden McDaniels, don't let him get a bunch of open warm-up threes. Naz Reid, when he comes off the bench, do your best to defend. That's where having a guy like Brandon Clark off the bench would have been massive tonight, to have a guy who could sit in there, make something happen. Limit Julius Randle. Other teams lately have been able to do that to him, most notably the last game against the Bucks. Bucks only allowed him to score 9 points that entire game, and in the fourth quarter, they obviously took off. It was 40-13. Just limit the others and try to make Anthony Edwards as inefficient as possible. And I think through the two games they've played against them so far this year, they've successfully done that for the most part. Last time these two teams played was on January 20th. I know Anthony Edwards had 32 points, but the rest of that roster was held down for the most part. You have to try to replicate those types of things.
But no, without a doubt, you have to just try to keep their best guys at bay. I know that that's a very basic thing to say when it comes to a basketball game, but if you can keep Julius Randle frustrated, that usually bodes well for you. You want to get him in his head. And the good news is that you have Jaren Jackson Jr. You still have Jaren Jackson Jr. because it is brutal to lose two of your top six guys within a few weeks of the playoffs and in the most important stretch of basketball this season. That's what happened to the Memphis Grizzlies. They lost Brandon Clark, who was their sixth man. They lost Jalen Wells, who was one of their starters, and their number one perimeter defender. Not having them tonight does put you behind just a little bit. But the good news is that you still have Ja Morant. You still have Desmond Bane. You still have Jaren Jackson Jr. And you have this new version of Zach Edey that we've seen of recent. If they can go out there and just play the same way they've been playing the last few games,
they'll give themselves an opportunity.
I think they'll give themselves an opportunity. Absolutely. And that's why, you know, you've just got to try to frustrate Julius Randle. You've got to try to make him play ISO basketball. When he does that, it pulls the Timberwolves down. If you can turn him into a selfish basketball player, that's the best version. That's the easiest way to beat the Timberwolves, is make Julius Randle become the most selfish player on the court,
right,
which you can push him toward.
Now, with Jaren Jackson Jr., one of the biggest X factors tonight is it's about his whistle. I still don't understand his whistle to this day.
Jaren's?
On the defensive end. It's kind of ridiculous. Guys that are thought of as highly as a defender as he is, a guy who's won a defensive player of the year, usually does not pick up as many ticky-tack fouls as him. You could put some of it on him, some of it on the way he is officiated. But that is one of my big concerns tonight, is if you have Julius Randle against Jaren Jackson Jr., Julius Randle can get off the dribble, get off the bounce. You have to stay in front of him. He'll face up with you. He'll try to get to the rim. He'll try to force his way through you. How many fouls is Jaren Jackson Jr. going to commit early in that game? Is he going to be in foul trouble? Is he not? I think that will be sort of a early indication of if the Grizzlies can have success tonight.
Absolutely. And one of the things, we've heard it on the broadcast the last few games, is I do think that Jaren, given he's a defensive player of the year and he's been in the league 7 or 8 years now, does have a pretty tough whistle.
Yeah.
At the same time, he commits some boneheaded fouls.
Sure.
He has got to avoid the, this guy has beaten you foul, don't slap at the ball.
Yeah.
You're too important now. When you don't have Jalen Wells,
let him go.
You got to let him go. Sometimes you got to give up a bucket. Sometimes they beat you, and you got to give up that bucket. You cannot give up any fouls. One thing that I have noticed, too, is when Jaren goes up for a block shot, he always puts his forearm out, and he puts his arm on the guy's body. That is what he gets called for the most. It's because
it's a body foul.
You got to go up with both hands.
Yeah.
Go up with both arms. Don't put that arm on their body because they're going to call it every single time because they're looking for it with Jaren. That is where a lot of his calls come from, as he goes up and it looks clean up top, but where he's getting the foul call is because he's putting that forearm right on their stomach, and that's why he's getting the whistle.
Yep, yep. Now, we need to see John Morant potentially go supernova tonight, too. That would be pretty fun. Because I don't know if the, you know, obviously it'll be Jaden McDaniels on him. You're giving up some size and everything like that. But this is the third time Ja Morant will have seen this Timberwolves team. He's playing way better ball than he was at that moment in time in January. So hopefully this is a different Ja Morant completely. And obviously the high pick and roll, Zach Edey, you know, getting into more of T.I., Tomas Asalo's concepts on the offensive end, I think will help get Ja going tonight. I have more confidence in that than I did back in January, even when they won these games.
We need the Ja Morant boogeyman to show up, the one who has been terrorizing the Minnesota Timberwolves as of recent. If that version of Ja shows up, the version that we saw in the playoffs a few years ago, I feel pretty good about the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. And what's nice is that right now you have this sweet spot of Ja where he is playing with some more joy out there on the court, but he's also playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder, which we can debate whether or not it should be there, but it's there. That's a good thing. You want that chip on the shoulder to be there. You want a clutch moment to be there because that's where Ja seemingly performs at his best. So hopefully we get that version of Ja Morant tonight. Usually when you need a big game from Ja, when the moment is there, he has met it in most cases. There's been a couple times this year where he hasn't, but the team just hasn't. And I think that we know why that may have been happening.
Yeah.
And that factor isn't there tonight.
It's not there.
So, as Brevin said, some things you don't have to say directly.
Yes.
I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. So if you're running more pick and roll, if you have the guys a little bit more confident, just make sure that you can contain Julius Randle and Anthony Edwards. To be honest, you probably just have to contain one of them. Just don't let both of them go off. If one of them's getting 30, then make sure the other one's getting 15.
Yep. So it should be a really fun one tonight.
And I swear, if Mike Conley, Mike, one last time, give it to us. Come on. You're with us.
And to be fair, he is not.
No.
He's old.
No, it's what I said earlier in this year.
He is not playing.
No, it's the Timberwolves are doing the, listen, we have an old dog. We're getting the puppy because we know what's going to happen with this older dog soon. Rob Dillingham's the puppy. Mike Conley's the older dog. It's as simple as that.
Yes. And again, another thing you don't have to explain too much. I do think the NBA has to answer for the scheduling, though, and how they did the Grizzlies in these last
it's dirty.
Games. That is. I know Drew Hill said it on Monday. I don't know what they obviously can't do anything about it now, but they can file complaints and petitions with the league to be like, what the hell did you, why did you do this to us? This is absolutely insane. Because it's the chances of them doing the travel they have to do, not having a night off, going to Denver, winning at altitude in the midst of the fight they're in with the Nuggets almost supremely. Like, the chances of them winning that game are so low. And it's because of how this was scheduled out. That's frustrating as hell. The schedule and how they put it up these last three games for the Grizzlies is unforgivable, quite frankly. This is nasty. I haven't seen any other team in the league have to deal with something like this.
And did you see the Jokic quote from last night? Don't like that. Talking about a beast has been awoken or something like that. Not good.
Yeah. What'd you think of them last night, by the way?
I thought it was very interesting how little minutes Russell Westbrook played.
Well, yeah.
His fewest, I think, since December.
I thought the Kings did a good job for the most part on Jokic last night, even though he had a triple-double. But I think offensively they held him down.
They did.
Pretty well.
A lot of his points came from the free throw line.
Point scoring. He was still, but like that's the problem. That's the inherent issue with dealing with Nikola Jokic. You can sit there and make him inefficient as possible from the field, but he's going to find his teammates in those situations. He doesn't have to put up 20 shots a game to go win it. In fact, sometimes I feel like he's better when he is searching for his players on the wing, finding open threes for multiple guys in his with whatever rotation, whatever lineup they have on the floor.
The Nuggets are still very, very good as long as Nikola Jokic is breathing. But Jamal Murray's hurt. They don't have Jamal Murray right now.
Yeah.
And there's a possibility he's not going to be in that game against you. So they're vulnerable. You have a chance to go in there and win this game. It's really, you have to try to make sure Christian Brown doesn't kill you. He has been great for them this season. That was a huge question mark heading into the year. How is Christian Brown going to step into the KCP role? And
he's shooting 40% from three.
What the hell? He was a terrible three-point shooter before this season, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I guess I'll do it. And then Jokic was also like,
I think it was a little overblown. Christian Brown, when he came out of Kansas, like the guy, he had like the makings of a good jump shooter. I don't think his first year in the league, first couple of years in the league, he had all the greatest opportunities to shoot.
He just wasn't shooting many. I think that's what was surprising is that he was shooting like 36% or something like that, but it was the volume of it. I thought with increased volume.
It's like you didn't feel like he had confidence in his shot.
Exactly. He would always pass up a three to run in and try to get a layup or pass it off. It just seemed like he didn't want to shoot. So him now being a higher volume shooter for them is surprising. He's been great for them this year.
And Jalen Pickett, who is a very young player out of Penn State a couple of years ago, he's the guy who's taking the minutes away from Russell Westbrook. And I think that was one of the biggest disagreements that got both Michael Malone and the GM fired, is that they disagreed on who should get the minutes as the point guard when Jamal Murray's out. I think Calvin Booth, the GM, thought it was Jalen Pickett. I think Michael Malone thought Russell Westbrook, because of his experience and because who he has been as a player, he should be the guy put in there. Calvin Booth wanted to go with the guy he drafted, wanted to go with the guy that he feels like has more upside at this point in his career. I kind of agree with him more on that. Jalen Pickett's been decent, though, when he's been given an opportunity. Last night, 18 points, 6 for 10 from the field, 5 for 7 from 3. He can beat you if you let him, if you allow him to.
He's shooting 43% from 3 his last 10 games, shooting 41% from 3 this season, plays about 14 minutes a game. He has been a productive player for them when he's been in there. It is, you know, I think you're absolutely right. We saw reports today that the relationship that Michael Malone had with Russell Westbrook and the confidence that he had in him probably directly led to his outing in Denver. I don't think that that's a coincidence by any means. It just sounds like overall Michael Malone lost the locker room. When you can't get your players to watch film, that's a problem. That's a huge problem.
All right, now last thing before we bring on Jeff Calkins to talk about very similar things. Confidence level in the Grizzlies being able to do what they need to do to stay out of the play-in. Likely 3-0, 2-1 is possible, but 3-0. Where are we at on the confidence scale? I'm pretty low.
Going 3-0?
Going 3-0 in this stretch of basketball with the back-to-back and what they're going to have to do with their travel tonight, I don't think it's a very high possibility. But obviously, get to start tonight, see what happens. But your confidence level?
I don't think they're going to go 3-0. Yeah. I don't think they're going to go 3-0.
They don't necessarily need to, but that's the obvious way forward if
right.
You want to stay out of the play.
I do think they could go 2-1 with how they've been playing their last few games.
Sort of bookend it, win tonight. Went against the Mavs.
Man, that was the only thing that could have made last night sweeter, if that stupid, stupid Phoenix team wasn't terrible, there would have been a chance that Luka knocked out the Mavericks completely from playoff contention. God, that would have been amazing.
Suns stink, though.
Suns are terrible. Dreadful. Have you seen that it's like a 0% chance that Bradley Beal's going to be back, apparently?
There are 29 of 30 teams that are either in play-in contention, playoff contention, or in the contention for a lottery pick. The only team that's not is the Phoenix Suns. We talk about no man's land, and it's a buzzword. They are literally, not figuratively, nothing like it. They are literally in no man's land in the NBA world. No chance at a high pick, no chance at the play-in, no chance at postseason play at all. And they gave up a 64-18 team, a team that made the finals, to do that. I still, you know, the Mavs are the Mavs, and they made their mistakes. I still don't get why Matt Ishbia loved on that team so much that he just blew up all the good things they had to bring in those three stars.
The stat that you just read off about 29 teams being in contention for all these different things, that juxtaposed to the quote that Matt Ishbia had about the Suns, 26 other NBA GMs would trade their entire team for the Suns team right now, including draft picks, if given the opportunity. When you look at irony, I think that quote is just sitting right there.
Yeah, 100%.
It's this new owner syndrome is one of the worst things in sports. We see it in every sport. We're seeing it right now. We saw it with the Dallas Mavericks. Came in, oh, this Luka guy. Let's trade him for Anthony. It's... when they come in, just don't touch it. If you have a successful team that you are able to purchase, don't mess with it. Advice. Just simple advice. If you have a team that's cooking, maybe let them cook for more than one season.
And, you know, this is why.
Like, imagine.
This is the age-old conversation about the Grizzlies in particular. People may have their issues with Robert Pera and the amount of money he wants to spend on his team versus the amount of money he has,
sure,
net worth-wise.
Sure.
We can talk about him never being in Memphis. In the end of the day, I think to run a successful franchise, and you see this in every sport in America, to run a successful franchise, you have to hire people under you and trust them to make the right decision. I know it didn't work out for the Mavs, right? But he didn't, you know, ultimately Patrick Dumont didn't hire Nico Harrison. That was under Mark Cuban and his regime. But you just need to empower the people under you. The worst thing that can happen to most pro franchises is when the ownership group thinks that they know best and they start pulling strings on personnel decisions. You see it with the Cowboys in the NFL.
Browns.
You see it on the Browns. You see it all around American sports. When ownership dips their hand into personnel, it never works out well. So as much as we have our complaints about Robert Pera and other teams may have complaints about their ownership and their actual, how much they're in the fight with their particular franchise, I would much rather have someone who's never around, who doesn't make personnel decisions, than someone who's just dipping their hands in it daily.
Keep the team here and cut a check. That's what I need from the owner. Keep the team in my city and
so
cut a check.
So with you. So with you. 100% with you. Now let's bring on Jeff Calkins. He is scheduled to join the show next. Stick around.